No matter how much a person knows that he's a ben olam haba, based upon his current assessment, a person has to also know. That's why it's a medrash. It means a person has to always know that it's possible that a person would have certain experiences that could actually destroy them. I mean, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Anius mavris odom me'al daito me'al das kono." So you see, but there were many aniyim. Hill was an ani, and many aniyim that were the greatest talmidei chachamim and the greatest tzaddikim. Yeah, but it means to say they were able to stand by that nesayim. But an average person would not, or might not be able to do it. So I mean, so you see, there are certain nesyonos, certain situations. In other words, what he knew was that as great as he was, there always can be a situation that a person can that can befall a great person, even a great person like David HaMelech, that could simply remove him from Chai Olam Haba. I mean, that's Acher. Yeah. That's what it means, really, Lulu Nakur. It means, Lulu Nakur means there is another idea to derive from here, but that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay. Yeah, the Pshat in the Pasuk is like the Rambam. Okay. I mean, that's exactly how we explained what the problem of Medrash. Because what's the real Pshat in the Pasuk? We explained this once, right? The Pshat in the Pasuk, like you'll find, like Ramban, that'll say the Pshat in the is like this, and the Chazal, right? But the answer is because the Torah is using experiences, and experiences are limited. So therefore, the way it records it is that you can derive ideas out of other experiences that could have taken place. So the same thing as the Lulei Nakor. The plain shot is like the Rambam. But what are those Nakudos there? The Nakudos are there to teach you another idea. It's another idea. That a person, no matter how great they are, if they feel confident 100%, Lulei Montaliris means he's confident 100%, but it's Nakud to tell you that there is no, a person should not have absolute confidence, because a person should always know that the truth is that as great as he is, it's always possible to have an experience that is so overpowering that will completely knock him off and remove him from Chai Olam Haba. That's what I say. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's complementary to what we're saying. Why? Because it shows you the imperfection of this existence and the Bechira. Because it means there's never 100% security in this existence. You see? So that's why, that's another reason why I actually should look forward to Chai Olam Haba. You see, it ties in, the two ideas actually do tie in where the Rambam has them. Namely, that it's a part of the imperfection of this existence. That a person can reach a tremendous level and still be knocked off by an overpowering experience. Like the case by Acher. So that shows you that the struggle and with the Bechira is never really, you never reach a state where it's perfect. I mean, no, it's not a perfect state. So we're working last week on the Rambam and Hilchos Shir Perek Ches Halacha Zayin. The Chama Koma David, the Savala Chai Olam Haba. Shenem Alulei Amanta Leros B'Tuvat Hashem Beretz Chaim, right? So, yeah. And then he goes on to say, "Tell us all about in Kach Bad Masigal Burya." So the question is, how could you be misavv of something that you can't even imagine it? That's what the Ram says. You can't even represent it through dimya. All right, and that's why the Nevi'im never try to give any representation for Olam Haba. Kadesh lo yifchasu osu b'dimyo. Okay. So the question is, how could Ram say in the same halacha? He says that the David HaMelech had tremendous desire for it when you don't know what it is. So we went through the psukim of Lulei Amanti Leros, and we showed that in this life, due to the Bechira, so there's always a struggle. And therefore, he was misava for a life which is a singular existence where there's no struggle, and that's why he said lulei amanti liros means that this whole life would make no sense in its own right, were it not for Olam Haba. So therefore, according to Olam Haba is not just something that it would be wrong. In other words, according to the Rambam, according to Chazal, would be wrong. If a person, let's say a person would do mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, simply because it's the good.
but only for this existence. I think about Olam Haba. And certainly it's true. And certainly is Ashrecha V'Tovlach, right? Ashrecha means Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh. So even in this existence, the way of Torah Mitzvah is the best life. Apparently the Rambam held that, and Chazal held, that if a person lives like that, he's not living in truth. Because then the whole of human existence makes no sense. It's nonsensical. Because, in other words, when a person, the way a person has to live his life has to be in accordance with an idea of the life of a human being which makes sense to a person. And then a person could be living in truth. But if you block out Olam Haba, so then your existence will be deficient. According to Ram Kodachal, that's what Ram says, Kamo David. It means he had a tremendous desire. Lule Amanti Liros B'Tuv Hashem. So you see that if a person doesn't have that, doesn't think about Olam Haba, and just thinks about Olam Hazeh, even though he thinks about Olam Hazeh in terms of the real Derech HaChaim, there's something serious lacking from his perception and in his way of life and in his very existence. So it comes out a strange thing that while a person cannot do mitzvahs for the sake of Olam Haba, for a return in Olam Haba, right, that would be wrong. Why? Because there is no chiluf. There's nothing that you could get in return for mitzvahs, because mitzvahs is the greatest thing, right? Nevertheless, if you would simply live for Torah mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh, you'd be lacking, and you don't have the dimension of Olam Haba, you'd be lacking in your very existence over here. Olam Haba is a necessary component. You can't just negate it. It's two opposites, in other words. You can't live for Olam Haba. You must live for the true benefits of Torah Mitzvahs. But you can't live for the true benefits of Torah Mitzvahs only in Olam Hazeh and negate the institution of Olam Haba. That would also be a distortion. That would be a distortion of human existence, and therefore your existence would not be in line with reality. Okay, that's really the Rambam. It's an interesting thing. Can't do it for Olam Haba, but you can't negate the dimension of Olam Haba. Dimension of Olam Haba must be ever present in a person's mind. You see? Yeah, that's correct. That's Rambam in Perek Chi, where he says, "Elanei sheftrim lulmo b'chachma v'lasos ha-mitzvah, kidei she'nizke l'chai Olam Haba." It means to say that the Chai Olam Haba is ever present in the person's mind. Okay. Now, so we said that's what it means he had a desire for it. But I was thinking about it. I mean, it still bothers me because it's still a negative kind of thing. In other words, he's looking for a kind of a life which does not have the conflicts of this existence. That's Lulei Amanti Liros B'Tuv Hashem. Okay, he couldn't make it without it. So it still is a negative kind of thing. And over here, but the Rambam says, the chamor koma David, this avel achay olam haba. Okay? So, shenema luleya manti liros. It sounds like there's something positive there. You know what I mean? Like, it would seem that there has to be something more than what we said last week in terms of, what we said last week is true, because that comes from the psukim, luleya manti liros, that's what they're saying. Because there are conflicts and difficulties, struggle, but there must be something positive as well. So I was thinking about that. See, I think the pshat is like this. The pshat is that there is something positive. Okay, there is something positive. What is it that's positive? It's positive as follows: that the life of a true chacham is really a different kind of inner experience. A different kind of inner experience. Like the Pasuk says, Choros aluchos al tikri choros al acheros. So it means there's a different kind of happiness and inner joy and freedom that a person experiences who's a real chacham. It's a different kind of existence, different kind of life. Okay? He's devoid of the problems that most people have. He's in a world of chokhmah. It's a totally different kind of experience. As the Chazal say that who was it that he came to the Regolim, and he saw the Mishnah Perkei Avos, and he saw all the people and all the throngs of people, and he said they only exist for me, because they really don't have a good existence, but I do. So it means to say that when a person achieves perfection, it means it's not a gomel. Okay? So that kind of experience is one which is a qualitatively different experience. Okay? An inner experience which is a different kind, has a different kind of happiness, different kind of feelings. Okay? So it means like this. So now that kind of experience stems from the fact that the person, the Adam, the person is living in line with his nature to the highest degree in this existence. In this existence. Okay? So when a person experiences that in this existence, so then he can have an idea of what Chaye Olam Haba is. Okay, not because he could equate, not in the sense that he can equate the experiences over here with the experiences over there, because that the Rambam says there's no comparison. But the idea of Olam Haba is that there is, for every existence, there is an accompanying state of perfection. And when this state of perfection arises, the organism or the existence experiences a certain blissful state. Okay, like if you take an animal, it has all the conditions that it needs, so it reaches the optimum level of its existence and happiness. Okay, now the soul is a superior kind of entity, and therefore, when its existence is proper, so it has to experience a much greater kind of joy. I mean, the word joy is homonymous, but in other words, the joy results from the fact that the entity exists in its optimum state. Okay? So therefore, I would say the following. That v'chama koma David means as follows. That since David HaMelech was a perfected person, and it's true, he had struggles and difficulties. That's true. On the one hand, that's true. But on the other hand, in the good states of existence, this means constantly every second in the struggle. All right? But when he experienced, when he wasn't in struggle, for instance, Vayibaniecha Hashem Zdovim Mikoloivav Misoviv, I mean, there's a time when he was finished all with those kind of struggles. And even during the struggle, not every minute, you understand what I'm saying? You can't say all his life, every minute he's in that struggle. There's a struggle, difficulties, he went through all the exercise of powers, Bechira, to the nth degree, but it doesn't mean there were no moments where he appreciated the existence of his, due to his perfection. You see? Lachzos bin Omer Shem Levakya Becholo, I mean, He had the experience of the perfected person he had. It's alongside the other difficulties, but it does not rule that state. It does not rule that state. So therefore, now that kind of experience only results from one condition. And that condition is that the organism is living in line with the way it was designed. So we were designed for two olamos. There's a design for this world, and then there's a design for the next world. Now the design for the next world is superior, because there's no intermingling of the guf. That's true. But the only experience that you can extrapolate from this world to the next world is the experience of living in line with the way the human being was designed. So that experience of joy, which is true happiness is is where the person experiences that kind of a joy. It's a different kind of joy than most people in their lives. I mean, will never experience that because they never have it. So they never have that kind of joy. But it's a different kind of a joy when a person senses that he's living in line with the results from the person living in line with reality totally. It's a different kind of experience. So David HaMelech had that experience. From that experience, you can extrapolate to a to an experience of Olam HaBa, which has to be superior because of the nature of the entity that exists in Olam HaBa. So that's V'chama Kama David. You see, so there is a positive thing. There is a positive thing. So Lule Hamanti Liros is true. That with that, it's true that he's looking forward to his man when there's no struggle after the bechira. That's correct. But in order to be misave for such a kind of life, there must be some common thread. You see, there must be something to be attracted to it. And the common thread is that a person who lives a perfected life can experience the joy that that results from perfection. And that joy, the person can understand that there is a part of him that is superior, and therefore will have to have a superior kind of existence, and he's drawn to it. So he's drawn to it. That is the common thread. So while the Rambam says that you can't give any dimyon for Olam HaBa, from Olam HaZeh, that's true, but that does not mean that does not mean you cannot relate to it. You can't give any dimyon. There's any dimyon to give from this world is qualitative differentiate. But it doesn't mean you can't relate to it through any kind of experience, because then you couldn't be misava. But the way you can relate to it is through there is one common experience, and that is when the organism is existing totally the way it was meant to exist. That's really what true happiness is. See, that's why most people never even experience that. And that's why the search for happiness is fruitless. It has to be fruitless because they have no idea what it is. You see, to them it's an experience of pleasure, which they would like to extend over the whole of their existence. But that's nonsensical, and it's something which intrinsically a person can never attain. Of course, the experiences of pleasure that we have, that are based upon the physical or the psychological, can only be short-lived by definition. So therefore, what people, the average person, that the mistake they make is that they're looking for happiness, they don't know what happiness means. What they're looking for is at certain moments in life they had very heightened experiences. And for them, what they would like to do is just extend that through the whole of their life, then they'd be happy. They don't realize that those experiences, by definition, can only appear momentarily at certain points because of its nature. Just like hunger will make a person enjoy eating, but obviously you can't always have that joy, because by definition, the moment you eat, you're not going to be hungry anymore, so now you're going to lose that enjoyment. So the physical and the psychological are always dependent upon, like the Rambam says, dependent upon has to be new to the person, okay, and has to be something which has a desire. So therefore, what people are looking for is just virtually impossible. They're looking for certain experiences, whether it's psychological experiences or physical experiences, but they think they were happy at those moments. At those moments, they weren't really happy. At those moments, they experienced pleasure. And they think that that's what they're looking for, but it's intrinsically virtually impossible. But the real happiness of man is where the human being is functioning according to the way it was designed. That's a different kind of a thing. That's something which the person can that experience is something which the person can enjoy on a constant basis. Okay, but that experience is only for those that have really perfected themselves. In other words, it's still not a worthwhile. In other words, while it's true that there are moments in life, and it depends on the person. For some people, it can be longer moments, maybe even years. For some people, depends on the variables of the person's life, each individual. Obviously, read through the life of David HaMelech, he didn't reach a plateau and just stay there. So, I mean, it was a long time, and it's a That's God's ashgacha. I mean, that for each individual, the different encounters in the individual's life. But no matter who it is, the person will always have those. If he's a perfected person, will always have those great experiences. But nevertheless, a person would be foolish if they would think that that kind of a life is worthwhile. It's intrinsically impossible. Because you see, the way the life is structured is that the Bechira is here in order to perfect the person, in order to bring into actuality the potential of the soul. Correct? Mm-hmm. So to say that a life of potential is a valid existence is absurd. I mean, obviously, according to God's design, can't be just here. Because over here, the Bechira is only there in order to bring the soul to its full potential, its full realization. Because that's what the Bechira does. So it would be like saying that an existence which is a means is an end. No, it's the same argument. That's why it has to be. Two points, one, whatever. The argument that I'm utilizing shows you the dimensions of the thing. Because otherwise, a value judgment is very hard to say dimensions. When I say it's enough, it's not enough. I mean, it's a shallow kind of approach. But this shows you the nature of the thing itself and the nature of the struggles, and therefore, it's virtually impossible to say that this kind of an existence is worthwhile. Yes. In other words, it's a kind of a joy of being in line with reality. That's a certain type of joy that the average person does not know what you're talking about when you say that. You know what I mean? But it's a certain kind of a joy. Along those lines, I just want to mention Chazal call the pleasures, Chazal call Chayesha. Okay, Chayesha. Now, I just want to show that concept is a very important concept, Chayashah. Because what it means is like this. Chayashah means that any pleasure a person has, no matter how great it might be, okay, is always tied to a denial. In other words, it always has to be in conflict with a certain part of the human being. All right? Denial. It has to be in conflict with a certain part of the human being. Why? I'll tell you why. Because, you see, the pleasures are of the emotions. And the emotions are of the moment. So they're always linked to the moment. But the mind is not of the moment. The mind is something which spans time. Okay? Now, the mind, when a person uses their mind, they're always looking at reality. So if you look at reality, you have to see the scope of reality, correct? And the scope of reality gives you a different energy investment in whatever you're doing. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, at the time that if a person is enjoying something, okay, the enjoyment is always linked to the fact that all their energies are in the present moment. Okay, so that person's out of samkha. Okay. The simcha demands that all the energies be in the present, in this moment. Isn't that true? Okay. If the person would think at the time of the simcha of their entire life, obviously the simcha would, be dissipated, be gone. So at the moment of any kind of enjoyment, any kind of emotional experience, you must remove the element of the mind. In other words, the intellectual is always an antagonist to the emotional experience. Because a person, let's say a person is having a simcha, you know. So has a baby. So they're very happy. So, yeah, it's very nice. But that's as long as they can focus on this moment, they could be very happy. But if they think about the scope of reality, the child requires care, and the child gets sick, and the tzar gittel banim, and the whole scope of the reality, I mean, it's the end of the simcha. that's Yosef Das, Yosef Das Macho. That's pain. So therefore, all joy, all pleasure, which is related to the emotions, demands that the mind be turned off. See, the intellect cannot partake of this kind of a thing. What do Chazal say? Chazal say that when a person, what does it say? It says, It's a tough chazal. I mean, tough chazal. Rashi in the but basically, it's true. It means to say that that b'shasa, if a person wants to enjoy the simcha of Nolo ben Zachar, wants to enjoy the simcha, he can't think of the scope, because the scope is the thing. One day he's going to be an old man and die, so that's the end of the simcha. So you have to. The emotional experiences demand that the intellect not be involved. And the moment the intellect gets involved, that's it. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. What? Okay. Since it always demands a removal of the intellect, so obviously it's pretty obvious that the person cannot have the joy of being in line with reality. Because first of all, it's obvious the person can't have any real joy, because you always have to be suppressing. You can't really stop a part of you, and the mind is always there, so you always have to keep blocking that out. So you have to be pushing that, so a lot of energy has to be going to block out the counter thoughts and to immerse yourself in these thoughts. You see, and that's why you see a simcha is really, most people have a hard time at a simcha, you know? It's called a simcha, but usually it doesn't wind up that way. Because why? Because the problem is that you have to, they don't realize when they think of the simcha. When do they enjoy the simcha? Before it comes and after it's over. But while it's there, it's not really that enjoyable. And the reason is simple. Because when you're in imagination, so you can think of one aspect and not another aspect. You see. And when you're reflecting in the past also, when you're reminiscing too. But during the experience, see, when you're actually experiencing it, it's not like you're just sitting back and thinking about it. You can think of one aspect of, you can think of one half of the square, cube, you know, I mean, that's, you focus on one part. But when the experience is really there, and now it's a reality for the emotions, you have to start setting up emotions that are going to block off other parts of the mind that would be counter to this enjoyment. So a person does not realize, you see, a person is very bad at judging quantities. A person is very bad at quantities, is bad, a very difficult thing for a person to judge. They don't realize how much energy it's going to take to counter the other thoughts in order to have the enjoyment. And that's why at the time of the experience is never what the person thought it would be. You see, you never know what the person thought it would be. So they don't recognize the counter energies you're going to need in order to enjoy something. You see, because you must block out an essential part of your nature, namely your mind. I mean, so that's why enjoyments are really never of the mind. They're always enjoyments of the emotion. That's what Chazal say, Chayesha. But there is a way for a person to enjoy Chayesha. And that's if the person really has a total view of reality and recognizes the Chayei Shoah for what it is. I mean, he'll never get that. He's not going to get that pleasure. He's not going to get the passion that the average person has. But on the other hand, he doesn't have the problems of blocking out the other parts of his experiences, and he sees the whole. And the enjoyment of being in line with reality. You see. Is a different kind of enjoyment. It's a different kind of experience, a different kind of enjoyment. I think that's what most people don't understand. See, most people don't understand. It's very hard to explain it to them, because if a person never experienced it, so they don't know what they're talking about. But most people who are looking for something, if a person's looking for Torah, what are they looking for? They don't know what Torah is. So they're looking for some kind of an experience, or some kind of a pleasure or joy. I mean, but they have to. The only thing they have recourse to is their old joys. You know what I mean? So then they have the problem that we were discussing before. You know, the problem of how a person chay olam hazeh could be nesava for chay olam haba. But there, the answer is, we have an answer for such an individual on a perfected state. But actually, a person that's not on a perfected state, who's looking for perfection, really does have that problem, because they really don't know what the experience is. They have no knowledge, but they're drawn to it. That's why they're drawn to it shelo lishma. They're always drawn to it shelo lishma. Have to be. But then once they get there, then the experience takes over, and then they see a new world. Okay? But that world and that kind of an enjoyment is a totally different type of enjoyment. That's what the Rambam means in one of his letters, where he speaks about the even keel. He says that a chacham, he says, never gets too excited and never gets too depressed. He's always on an even keel. The even keel is a result of the person living in line with reality. But that means, because you're spanning the whole of time in terms of your existence, and you're not blocking out, you see, certain aspects of human existence, and therefore the enjoyment stems from being aligned with reality. That's a different kind of that's an even keel, okay? But the average person who doesn't have that will always have the ups and the downs. But even the ups are going to be have to be of the moment, because if not of the moment, they're not going to be enjoyable. I mean, even the Kovash Yisitro, even though he has a conflict, right? But the fact is, he's in line with his mind. In other words, the mind is where it's supposed to be. So in terms of the mind seeing reality, that he sees 100%. But now he has to bring the emotions in line. So he still is, while it's a struggle, it's not like the other kind of struggle. The other kind of struggle, he's blocking out essentially an essential component, the essence of the human being, which is his intelligence. You understand what I mean? I mean, you have to understand what the, over here where the person is involving himself in a momentary pleasure and obliterating everything else, it needs a lot of energy, because you're going against the mind, which is really the essence of the human being. So it's an essential component you're fighting over there. And so, I mean, that's why the price is very high. The opposite way, on the contrary, is a much better way, because there the mind is not compromised. And the person sees and he understands the good and understands everything properly. What he's covered Israel is bringing his emotions in line with that knowledge. So it's true there's a struggle, but the main part of the man is in the right place. The other way, the opposite way, is where the price is very high. Over here the price, but it's not the same. Okay, Chazal is a very difficult Chazal, because it's what it's doing is, I mean, it's almost like being pagay and covered a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you're really equating Maaseh Hashem to an element of man, which is completely irrational. He's saying, I mean, the Chazal we're talking about is on, in case I don't put it on the tape, it's on the end of Bereshis, okay, by so that's the Maaseh Shibben Karcha. So the Apikaris asked him that, doesn't God know? Right. So he answered him that when you have a ben zochah, so you're happy even though you know he's going to die. I think what it means like this. What the Chazal means is perhaps like this. See, they're using a mashal, but what they're saying is like this. What they're saying is that, you see, when a person is happy, for instance, let's say common happiness. Let's say like this, like another little ben zohar, okay? He has a simcha, right? So a person lives. The average person really lives. Everything they do is a means for those kind of things. He's talking to an apikaris. He's talking to a person that's on a low level, basically. Right? A person that's a type of hedonistic individual. Okay? So even a hedonistic individual has a lifestyle and has some kind of a purpose, some kind of a plan. Okay? So therefore, what it means is like this, that even the hedonistic individual, he lives, he does everything for the purpose of a certain thing, a certain enjoyment, a momentary enjoyment, right? Like, let's say he's looking forward to a simcha. Okay, looking forward to a simcha. Now, so the question is, but at that simcha, doesn't he know that the child's going to grow up and going to die one day, it's going to be avelus, right? Yeah. But the answer is that he does not take that into consideration. Why? Because that's really the end of all his striving. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, when do you set up a sequence? You set up a sequence when you have an objective. In other words, I get up in the morning, I I get up in the morning, I get dressed, I go to work, I do this, I do that, whatever I'm doing, I have a whole sequence of events because you want to reach a certain objective. But once you reach that objective, correct, then there's no more need for it, there's no more sequence. Because that's it. Okay, like you say, why do you go to work? So you get money. Why do you get money? So you have a nice car. Why do you have a nice car? So you have pleasure. Why do you have pleasure? That's it. Can't go any further than that, right? So therefore, what he showed him was the following mashal. He showed him that there are certain sequences which you come to a dead end, even though there's a further sequence, you don't go into the further sequence because you've reached your goal, your objective, right? Now the average person lives in order to have moments of enjoyment. No lo ben zochar, he has a simcha, whatever the simcha might be, okay? But that is the end goal of all his striving. So even though there is a sequence after that, he doesn't go into that sequence, because that sequence is not part of his system of objectives. Correct? That's what he asked him. He said, don't you know there's a sequence, and then what's going to happen is this child's going to die one day? Yeah, but that's not... There's no reason to go into the sequence if the sequence is not part of a plan and an objective. Right? You understand what I mean? In other words, the only reason you go through a sequence is because you have an objective, a goal. So therefore, you start from A, you go straight through, step, until you reach that. But once you reach the end of your objectives, that's the end of the sequence. And even though the sequence keeps going, you're out. Because what do you care about that? Right? So that's what he told the Apicurus. He said like this, isn't it true when you have no lucha ben zachar, so you enjoy that, it's a big simcha. But don't you know there's a sequence that's going to lead to his death? So he said, yeah, but b'shas chedvesa b'shas evelsa evelsa. It means to say that this is really, now we're talking about the end purposes of life, to have enjoyment, and sometimes, unfortunately, you have displeasure. But the pleasure and displeasure are ends. They're not means. So therefore, once I reach that moment of simcha, I'm not going to think further, because that's it. Okay? So he says, kach ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That God doesn't do anything with an objective. Doesn't do anything. He didn't create the world because he wants something. You see. So if he created the world because he wanted something, so then you'd be right. You have a good kasha. God didn't see in advance. It's not going to work out. So what is he going for? You see. But that would mean that he works for an objective for himself. He's trying to attain something. So you say, why did he create the world? Why did he create a human being? If what? I mean, if eventually a human being is not going to work out, and he's going to have to destroy him, and there's no Maisa Yadav or Liliyabud. Certainly a human being wouldn't do a thing like that. A person would build a beautiful home if he knows that a month later the whole thing's going to go up in flames. It wouldn't make any sense, right? So that's what Apicurus asked. So he answered him, he says, but look at your life. You see that you go, you have, when you reach the moment of your objective, that's it? Correct? So he says that moment of simcha is really your objective in life. And therefore, when you reach the objective, so then you don't think anymore beyond that, because that's the end product. That's the end of the journey. So he says, kach ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God doesn't do anything in order to attain something. He didn't create man and create the world so that he can have a nice little world with nice little people on a planet, you know, all being happy, you see. So he could look down and he could say, these are my Maisei Yadayim. If that were the case, he'd be right. If that were the case, he'd be right. Then if God knew the future, so why would he do that? He says, no, he says, but God's Maisim are always ends in themselves. In other words, the Maisa Hashem is simply that which his Chachma dictates to be necessary. And it doesn't have any further goal. It's just like the person who experiences Simcha doesn't think beyond, because that's the end of the goal. You see, that's the answer. That's the mashal. That's Kach Ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. The Bishvila Tzadikim, there's another gear. So it says it's supposed to be Va'od Bishvila Tzadikim Moasidim Lamod Mehem. That's another teretz. But the first teretz was Kach Ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After Yisrael says, "Not the Lord, the Lord, Nimna Milabaran."
That's the first Eretz. Okay.